This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Thanks for streaming WSOY on NowDecatur.com. This stream is presented by Hickory Point Bank, Invested. Their investment in Decatur is an investment in everyone who calls Decatur home.
Seeking community feedback about adding Sunday service to the city's public transit system. The addition of routes on Sunday could accommodate individuals who work on weekends. The proposed routes include a stop at most major grocery stores in Decatur, including all three Kroger locations and both Walmart locations. Go to nowdecatur.com for a link to the survey. To help celebrate and raise awareness of National Recovery Month, Heritage Behavioral Health Center is hosting a free mini golf event tomorrow at Overlook Adventure Park from 6 to 8 p.m. This is free to the public. The purpose is to raise awareness about problematic gambling, one of the less talked about forms of addiction. And while we're on the subject of gambling, if you or somebody you know has a gambling problem, you can call 1-800-GAMBLER. For more stories, podcasts, and videos, visit our website anytime, nowdecatur.com.
They'll keep working on the railroad. I'm Dave Anthony. Fox News is a tentative agreement to avert a rail strike that could have started tomorrow, halting a third of the nation's freight shipments. President Biden announced the deal in a statement this morning, calling it
an important win for our economy and the American people. It is a win for tens of thousands of rail workers who worked tirelessly through the pandemic to ensure that America's families and communities got deliveries of what have kept us going during these difficult years. Now, the tentative deal comes as Amtrak, the nation's cross-country rail system, had canceled nearly all of its long-distance trains.
Fox's Kevin Cork. The strike could have cost the economy $2 billion a day, disrupting supply chains and maybe adding to already worrisome inflation. Here's Fox's Jessica Rosenthal.
78% of those polled said inflation is causing them financial hardship. That is up 3 points compared to July, when inflation was running even hotter. And 34% characterized that hardship as serious. Just 38% say the Biden administration has competently managed the government.
Yet President Biden's job approval in the new Fox News poll ticked up slightly. 43% and more people say they prefer Democrats to Republicans in the coming midterm elections by 3 points. More migrants who came to the U.S. illegally have been sent north, this time by Republican Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, sending two charter flights to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts.
Governor DeSantis's office said, quote, states like Massachusetts, New York, and California will better facilitate the care of these individuals who they have invited into our country by incentivizing illegal immigration through their designation as sanctuary states.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. GOP Texas Governor Greg Abbott has sent thousands of migrants to Chicago, New York, and Washington, and the mayors of those cities call him immoral and inhumane. A tropical storm has formed in the Atlantic. Fiona could hit Puerto Rico this weekend. America's listening to Fox News.
The Tunnel to Towers Foundation is building Do Good Village in Lando Lakes, Florida. It's a first-of-its-kind community with over 100 homes for program recipients, a place where Gold Star families, families of fallen first responders, and catastrophically injured heroes can live together with neighbors who understand, a place where the children of these families will grow up together. Help America's greatest heroes and their families to heal together. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at t2t.org.
Dell Technologies semi-annual sale has arrived, and it's time to upgrade to the latest business technology. Save big on laptops and desktops with Windows 11 Pro. Plus, get amazing deals on server, storage, and cloud solutions, as well as top work accessories, including docks, monitors, and more. Dell Technologies recommends Windows 11 Pro for business. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL. That's 877-ASK-DELL for special business offers during our semi-annual sale.
Ukraine's president is meeting today with the European Commission president as Volodymyr Zelensky keeps asking for more military aid on top of all the weapons and ammo and financing the U.S. and European allies have sent that have helped Ukraine in a counteroffensive liberating 3,100 square miles of territory Russian forces had taken control of during the invasion. Now, Russia's president also has a key meeting today. Vladimir Putin is getting together with China's leader in Uzbekistan, their first sit-down since just before the invasion in February at the Olympics. This has two senators, a Republican and a Democrat, renew an attempt in Congress to declare Russia a state sponsor of terrorism.
Senators Lindsey Graham and Richard Blumenthal were in Ukraine recently when mass graves were uncovered in the Kyiv suburb of Bucha. Blumenthal told reporters Wednesday Russian forces are leaving behind similar destruction as they currently withdraw from several Ukrainian cities and towns.
Genocide, war crimes, atrocities that are unspeakable. Women and children killed with their hands tied behind their backs.
Ukrainian prosecutors said they so far have found six bodies with traces of torture in recently retaken villages in the Kharkiv region, and they expect more. Jill Nato, Fox News.
Ohio's law banning most abortions has been halted by a county judge. Critics call that law unconstitutional. California is taking Amazon, the online retail giant, to court in a lawsuit,
claiming the company stifles competition by using provisions to bar sellers from lowering prices on other websites. The lawsuit seeks to stop Amazon from forcing sellers into contracts that harm price competition, though Amazon has said in the past that sellers set their own prices. The state also wants the online retailer to pay damages. A federal judge in Washington, D.C. dismissed a similar lawsuit earlier this year.
That's Steve Rappaport. I'm Dave Anthony. This is Fox News.
Make it Millican by attending an upcoming fall campus visit day on Monday, October 10th. Tour campus to see where you'll live and learn. Explore top-ranked majors and programs. Learn about scholarship opportunities and find your fit on campus with athletics, performing arts, and over 75 clubs and organizations. Millican University offers all the benefits of a private education at a cost comparable to public institutions. Visit Millican on Monday, October 10th. Register at millican.edu/visit.
Good morning. Here's a look at your News Channel 20 storm team forecast. Today is going to be sunny with a high near 84. And tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 61. For Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 84. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 86. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 57 degrees. Your WSOY time, 6:06.
Good morning and welcome to the Thursday, September 15th edition of Byers & Company. City Hall insider Paul Osborne will be with us. We'll check in with Mark Tupper and Tupper on Sports, our regular Richland segment. Debbie Bogle from the United Way. The company starts now.
Byers & Company, WSOY, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
And welcome to the Thursday edition of Byers & Company. This tentative railway labor agreement is a very, very, very big deal. I don't know how tentative it is versus how much of an agreement it is, but this was about to put pain on top of pain on top of pain to everyone here in the United States. Railroad and union representatives, according to the AP, have been in negotiations for 20 hours at the Labor Department on Wednesday to hammer out a deal, as there was a risk of a strike starting on Friday that could have shut down all rail lines across the country, or at least rail lines across the country, and that would have been a complete disaster.
Yeah, we count on the railway for so much more than we ever could really imagine.
I don't think people even know how close, and we'll see. I guess something could still happen, but there was a phone call to the labor secretary as the talks were ongoing after a dinner had been brought in. According to a White House official, the president told the negotiators to consider the harm to the families, farmers, and businesses if a shutdown occurred. What resulted from the back and forth was a tentative agreement that will go to the union members for a vote after a post-ratification cooling off period of several weeks. So we've at least put this off for now.
Yeah, it's a minimally a temporary victory. So hopefully
weeks. You know, it's interesting because I saw yesterday another interesting story about labor unions. And the fact that they're looking at the highest polling numbers since like 1965. And I wonder with this kind of particular strike where, you know, you're leveraging, you know, your labor for higher wages, better benefits, whatever it is on the table. But by leveraging that, you're hurting consumers, you know, who are already being pummeled, you know, with gas prices and power bills and inflation. You know, how strong is your fight when what you do directly impacts everyone? You have a lot of leverage, for sure. But the harm not only hurts the businesses and the companies and the people who are, but it hurts the consumer as well. That's a tough one.
Oh, yeah, it's absolutely tough. But
it doesn't hurt the consumer like, I can't watch baseball. Hurts the consumer like, cost them money.
Right. Or can't get the goods that you need in this case, right. You know, potentially.
Well, but also cost you money because food prices go up. Everything goes up because of the scarcity of being able to get XYZ to XYZ. You know, that's always a precarious spot to be in. It's one thing when you hurt the company you're working for and push them into giving you what you think you deserve versus hurting the consumers in general.
What would you have them do, though? I mean, just keep showing up and.
Well, you always take the side that they're being mistreated to begin with. And I don't know that. I mean, I really don't. I don't know what the tentative deal is. I don't know if it will ratify. Listen, I come from a time, Nick, and this is hard to believe maybe in your lifetime, but Caterpillar's union, their national union, had to come in and buy airtime to tell their members to vote for the agreement they put together because the local union was so radical they wouldn't do it. But the union itself came in and bought blocks of airtime to convince their own members to accept the deal that they had put together.
I believe that. Sure.
So it's not always just black and white of somebody's right and somebody's wrong. I'm just telling you, it's one thing if you cancel a sport or I can't go to a movie or I can't take whatever. When you start hurting people in their own pocketbooks, I mean, it's a precarious place to be when you are negotiating or walking out on a job. Because it's not just impacting your employer, it's impacting consumers in general. I'm telling you, unions have come a long way in the last 20 years of buying back some goodwill with the American people. And this Gallup poll shows, you know, the highest numbers since 1965. But there's also, I mean, you don't just keep that. I mean, you can lose that support. And this is so broad-based. I mean, as you mentioned, so many more things than you can possibly imagine as far as impacting day-to-day lives if rail transport stops tomorrow. Big, 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 big ways. And then, you know, you've got everybody going, okay, maybe even if I see your side or I'm rooting for you, you're still costing me money. It's the same thing with pilots. You know, we're going to like go on strike. You don't think of that as like sort of a blue collar union job. But if they say we're not going to fly and then I don't get to go on vacation, I mean, do you think I'm going, oh, bad airlines? I'm going, the pilots aren't working, so I can't fly.
Yeah, I mean, that would seem to be what people get mad at, sure. I understand. I mean, there are some jobs, nurses come to mind, teachers come to mind, where the consequences, and that's not, I'm not assuming guilt or malice from the organization or the, you know, the business, the school, the hospital or whatever. But if it gets to a point where it's not workable for you, what do you do? I mean, do you just keep doing it? Cause they're not going to budge. And so I'm not siding with anyone. I'm saying at some point, if it is to the point where it's not tenable for you, what else are you going to do?
If you are, I don't even know what union covers the railroad. Is it the, I don't know how complicated the union relationships are, meaning like, is it universal across the board? Are there multiple unions involved? You know, is it, you know, how many rail operations do we have in this country? You know, how complicated and intricate is that conversation? Is it all just one side versus one side, or is it a myriad of equations of different jobs, different companies, different things across the entire industry?
Yeah, I mean, I have no
it's
idea
like, I don't know, like the United Auto Workers. I mean, you understand. You build cars, you know, you're part of the UAW. I'm just telling you, it's a tough game when you start impacting people's day-to-day lives to continue to keep that support. And depending on how long it goes on, that support can waver, even if you're right. I'm not even arguing about what should you do or what whether you're right or wrong. I'm talking about when you start impacting everybody's day-to-day life, people don't have much patience for that, just in general. School district strikes don't seem to, the longer they go on, people don't, if your kid can't go to school, day one, you kind of go, all right, yeah, I can kind of see their point. Day 30, you're like, all right, get your act together. Somebody's got to make this happen because my kid's not getting what they need to get. It's the way people vote. It's the way people do everything. I mean, it is a very selfish thing that we do in life, is that how does it impact us? And I don't think people realize the rail industry, just exactly how much it impacts us until it's not there. And thankfully, hopefully, maybe we won't have this. But already on top of everything else, you know, and what's strange is that, you know, you think about, you got a Democrat president who, by the way, the UAW just spent introducing him as the most labor-friendly president of the last, you know, 30 years. And you got the midterms coming up and you got all these things. You think that this would be the last thing they would want to do in the last stretch of an election year.
Yeah, it doesn't do anybody good to,
well, I mean,
to
have like your
infrastructure fall apart.
Like, no, but I'm saying, but you put the two and two together, you've got all of this. I mean, this isn't a good look for Democrats heading into that first week in November if they have this stuff where they're supposed to be the friendly guys who can get all of this done, and you're struggling back and forth about whether there's going to be a red wave or a red puddle or somewhere in between, and now on your watch, on top of inflation, on top of all of this, now we're talking about this huge deal that would impact everyone. You would think there would be enough power, clout, whatever, behind the scenes to work a deal, make a deal, get it figured out so that this doesn't just add on to the problems that some are facing at the ballot in November.
It sounds like that exactly happened.
Well, tentative. You throw the word tentative in there. I don't know what that means. I mean, I technically know what the definition of the word tentative is. I don't know what you're saying. Okay, it has to be ratified by the members, but we're going to have a cooling off period. I mean, that's a weird thing. You know, we're going to wait several weeks. Does that mean several weeks until after the election? Does that mean, what's the cooling off period? You're so mad that we think this is a good deal, but you won't accept the good deal until you cool off?
I mean, it might give them an opportunity to look in and see if there's some, you know, hey, this little point needs to be adjusted here. And
yeah, but they didn't say we're going to examine it. They said we're cooling off period. That was their terminology.
Yeah, I don't know then.
Okay. president told the negotiators to consider the harm to families, farmers, and businesses because it is a something that impacts people across every spectrum of life. And what resulted from the back and forth was a tentative agreement that will go to union members for a vote after a post-ratification cooling off period of several weeks. That's the verbiage used. When you use the term cooling off, what does that mean to you?
That it was contentious, and we need to just take a step back. But I mean, I don't know time-wise or what that means in context of two negotiating, you know, bot entities. It's a little. I'm not used to that being used in anything other than like people, you know, like individuals. Cool off. Go. You go to your corner. You go to your corner, and then we can hang out.
Yeah, and the word several is an interesting, you know, they don't use a couple of weeks. I mean, when somebody says a couple of weeks, you sort of understand that to be 2-3 weeks, right? When you say several weeks, I don't know what that means. Is it 8? Because that would get you past the election.
Yeah, they had a cooling off period, it seems like earlier, that was 60 days before that was due to end Friday. That's how we got to where we are with the timeline. So they're already cooling off.
So now they got another 60 days of cooling off again.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be 60 or, well, you said several weeks. So
well,
it could be
60,
way more.
60 would be,
would make sense,
would get you past the election. I guarantee you that is part of it. Just in a political year where you don't need more drama, you don't need more, you know, you get this past election day.
But if they've agreed to it, wouldn't it be better to sign it and take the victory?
Everybody's got
to
vote. I mean, it's not a given. I'm telling you, unions all the time make agreements and then put it to their membership, and it doesn't mean it's going to pass.
Yeah, that's a good point. It could backfire. And that would be way worse.
All right. The threat of a shutdown had put Biden in a delicate spot politically. The Democratic president believes unions build the middle class, but he also knew a rail worker strike could damage the economy ahead of the midterms when majorities in both chambers of Congress, key governorships, and scores of important state offices will be up for grabs. That's the obvious political statement. He doesn't need any more bad news on his watch heading into the midterms. So he flew to Detroit. And while members of administration went all out to keep the talks going in Washington between the railroads and the unionized workers, as administration was trying to forge peace, United Auto Workers Local 598 member Ryan Buchowski introduced Biden at the Detroit Auto Show on Wednesday as the most union and labor-friendly president in American history. I don't know if that's true, but and someone who was, quote, kicking ass for the working class, unquote, because you always keep it classy at those get-togethers. And so you're over here saying this, they're over here negotiating. He's kind of screwed either way because if he's seen as selling out the union, no, that's not good for his base. If the union goes on strike and cripples the economy even more, that's not good for him either. So he's in sort of a no-win position in all of this, unless you can come up with some sort of tentative agreement that sort of puts it off or at least puts the vote off until after Election Day and the trains keep moving. I just don't think people, we talked about this with our transpo guy from Western Illinois for years, Dr. Bart Jennings. You know, we don't understand how delicate the whole system is. We learned a little bit during COVID, clearly, right, about supply chains and, you know, why your refrigerator was suddenly so expensive and you had to wait 8 months for it and why everything had such a hard time getting to X, Y, or Z, why people are thinking about the whole idea of offshoring, maybe not a good idea because at least if your stuff's here, you can move it around to A points A, B, and C. Well, now without trains. If you want to know, I mean, I know it's frustrating out in the Richland area if you spend any time there driving because the ADM stuff's coming in and out and in and out. All of that grain, you know, the trucks are lined up there after the fall harvest and you know, 12 deep. It is huge. So we'll see what happens. It's good news for everyone right now and is for several weeks that we don't have to add this on top of everything else that we are going through. And whether this is all smoke and mirrors to try to just punt the ball till we get, you know, past the election, or if this is an actual agreement that will be voted on and ratified by the members, we'll see. But that was coming late last night because yesterday morning it didn't look good at all. Amtrak canceling. I mean, you don't even think about passenger. You know, you think about moving stuff. What about moving people? They canceled all of their trains. So there was no rail movement for people as of yesterday, meaning if you bought a ticket on an Amtrak train to go to X, Y, or Z, that was done.
It tells you that this deal was not absolutely imminent, that's for sure.
No, this all feels last minute, you know, in the middle of the night, coming to some sort of conclusion, which also just makes you wonder how solid it is. Because often those deals put together at the last minute fall apart. And then when you got to go to the membership and go, oh, you need to ratify this vote, then it's up to them. And them are a lot of different people and a lot of different, you know, I mean, it's not just one monolithic voice. All right. Freight, passenger, the whole nine yards. I've got to take a break here. When we get back, we got a lot to get to here today, including an interesting story yesterday from the Pew Research Center. If you look at numbers, they did a modeling of the future of religion in America. Fascinating. Part of the politics of late is that I want to go back in time to a better time, to when it was like where I think it was like this whole retrospective, oh, it was better then. It's what President Trump played into in the Make America Great Again kind of thing. The idyllic sort of notion of what you would see on TV or daily life. And people are desperately clinging to that stuff. And this is a mathematical equation that perhaps explains some of that.
Interesting.
Okay, we'll get to it. Here's Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast. Back with more after this.
Today's going to be sunny with a high of 84. Tonight, partly cloudy, low around 61. For Friday, mostly sunny, high near 84, and Saturday, sunny with a high near 86. Current temperature in downtown Decatur, 59 degrees. Your WSOY time is 626.
Stop in for an oil change at Speed Lube using Pennzoil Platinum or Pennzoil Ultra Platinum full synthetic motor oil as you earn a $25 gift card. Pennzoil synthetic motor oil with Purpose Plus technology is the first of its kind. Made from natural gas and designed for complete protection. Fuel your passion. Protect your engine with Pennzoil Platinum or Pennzoil Ultra Platinum full synthetic motor oil. Visit one of Speed Lube's 6 Decatur locations or in Lincoln or Clinton to get your platinum oil change today at Speed Lube. Offer ends October 31st. See Pennzoil.com/rewards for promotion details.
Hi, I'm Corky Nicholson with Hickory Point Bank. Running a local business is tough. We get it, because Hickory Point Bank is a local business, too. As one of Central Illinois' leading locally owned banks, we've been serving Decatur businesses and families for years. Most importantly, we know and understand the issues you face every day, because we face them, too. Join us and see the local difference. Hickory Point Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
Squash your fitness goals at the Decatur Indoor Sports Center. For a limited time, you can renew or join the DISC's full facility annual pass, and you get discounted rates with no joining fee. The DISC offers a fitness center, indoor soccer field, four-lane 200-meter track, basketball and volleyball courts, indoor golf center, and batting cages. Join today and squash your fitness goals this year. Give them a call today at 217-429-3472, and you can take a tour of the Decatur Indoor Sports Center in Decatur.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We're back here on a Thursday. By the way, before we move off this story, at issue in this whole debate is two unions representing 57,000 conductors and engineers over attendance policies. And that federally mandated, what you said earlier, cooling off period that ends tomorrow or would have ended tomorrow, opens the possibility of a strike. If employees refuse to go to work or have a lockout, if the carriers refuse to let workers do their jobs, then we're going to be looking at a world of hurt. part of the problem is when you do this as a union, if some of you are unhappy and strike, all of you are expected to strike. Even if you don't have any beef, even if your company is doing A-OK by you. It's power, it's leverage, it's negotiation, but it's hard to imagine, you know, I don't know how to answer your question about what would you have them do. I mean, there is a responsibility in the job that you have to deliver healthcare products and food and you know, car parts, whatever it is that you're in charge of delivering via train transportation. I don't know. But I know that crippling the economy on top of inflation and everything else wasn't going to be any good for anyone. Certainly not in an election year. And they also factored that into their stance. Okay? If it comes to the end of the day and no harm, no foul, meaning that the trains keep running and everything's going and you were able to negotiate a better deal, all right, fine. That's life. That's business. But when you actually pull the trigger on that, it's a whole different thing when it comes out the user inside and everybody's life gets disrupted. So maybe you had to do what you had to do right up to the last minute on Friday to get what you want, because you played the game out too long, people will start turning on you. Because people just trying to get from A to B or get on an Amtrak, they don't want to hear about the nuance of X, Y, or Z. They want to buy a ticket, use your service, and get to where they're going. We've got to take a break. We'll be back after bottom of the hour news. Stay tuned.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Negotiations at the Labor Department have led to a tentative agreement to avoid a railway strike. President Biden has statements says the deal comes with better pay and working conditions.
The president also said the deal is a win for rail companies because they'll be able to retain more workers. Without a deal, railways across the U.S. could shut down, and that may cost the country as much as $2 billion a day. In Washington, Jill Nato, Fox News.
Florida Governor Ron DeSantis has sent about 50 migrants on two charter flights to Martha's Vineyard in Massachusetts.
Governor DeSantis' office said, quote, states like Massachusetts, New York, and California will better facilitate the care of these individuals who they have invited into our country by incentivizing illegal immigration through their designation as sanctuary states.
Fox's Ashley Strohmeyer. Other migrants this morning have arrived at Vice President Harris's residence in D.C., sent from Texas. America's listening to Fox News.
The 2022 Mount Zion Community Prayer Breakfast on October 19th is from 7 to 8 a.m. at the Mount Zion Convention Center. Amber Oberheim, widow of Champaign Police Officer Chris Oberheim, will be our speaker. Amber's strong faith allows her to move forward with her God-serving mission in honor of her husband. She is the president and founder of Peacemaker Project 703. Plan on coming to hear her story. Advance tickets only for $12 each. Prayer breakfast tickets can be purchased at MountZionChamber.org or call 217-864-2526.
Here is Nick Smith with your News Channel 20 Storm Team forecast.
Today is going to be sunny with a high near 84. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 61. For Friday, mostly sunny, high near 84. And Saturday, sunny with a high near 86. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 59 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:32.
To Byers and Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
We are back here on a Thursday, and happy to be here with you. We've got a lot to get to here today. I noticed this was very interesting to me. We'll get into this Pew Research Center piece on religion in America, but Yesterday in the podcast of Andrew Taylor, the Board of Education president, and their newly appointed board member to fill out the vacant term of Dan Oakes, Bill Clevenger, that a fellow board member from Board of Education left the puke face emoji on the podcast.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
That's tacky and childish. And, you know, even if you disagree with the appointment, you would think there would be a way that you could do it that wasn't so childlike. Just to give you a little bit of an idea of the dysfunction.
Wow.
Yeah. You just wonder, like, in what world, like, oh, you know, welcome.
Right.
Glad to have you. Is that the puke emoji? The green sort of like where I look like I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, I emoji. Think so.
I can't keep track of them. Clearly wasn't a smiley face.
That wasn't a good one. Anyway.
It wasn't even the wink that you kind of look at and you go, what does that mean? Is that a wink?
Right.
A wink. It was like the bloated Ghostbuster looking.
I'm going to be sick.
Yes. Yeah. So, welcome to the club. And you wonder about people's motivations and why they do the things they do. I don't understand. If you're there to sort of be for the kids, which I would assume that that's one of the main reasons why you would run for school board.
It certainly would be at the top.
Well, maybe not. I mean, maybe teachers, staff, whatever. I mean, maybe the whole thing. That wouldn't be too much to ask. They'd like to have a good experience for everyone. Students, parents, teachers, everyone. And then, I'm not even going down that road because it doesn't deserve another thing about it being white people. I don't know what some in the black community have a problem with Ms. Banks not being, the board isn't all white. The superintendent of District 61, the assistant superintendent, most of the major roles are not white. I don't know why we do this. I get it if you've got some legit thing, but I don't know why we do it on a surface level so much with that. You can't predetermine who runs for office, or who applies to be, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a judgment decision by every individual who decides to do it or not do it. I look at the leadership team at District 61, and it seems to me that it's representative of our community. And who the hires are, is what I'm saying.
Oh, yeah.
I can't make somebody run for office or make the voters do X, Y, or Z. I mean, you know, there's so much more to that than there is. What does the leadership look like? What do the classrooms look like? I think we should all strive to look more like our community in every way that we can. So you get some of that. But I thought the puke emoji thing was just really childish. And people seem to sort of like think they do this in a vacuum. And it's the thing I don't understand at all.
I don't know. That seems very performance-based versus vacuum-based. Like, I'm putting this out there to be seen.
Maybe, but it sounds to me like up your nose with a rubber hose, like you're on Welcome Back, Cotter, not actually taking your responsibilities as a board member of the single largest school district in our community seriously. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it'd be one thing if you said something, well, even though I didn't maybe agree with this decision, you know, we'll work together to, like, you could have that kind of thing without being tacky about it. I mean, it's hard for me to understand your side if you have a side or feel anything out of that by you just doing the puke emoji. I mean, you're not giving me anything other than you have no restraint and seem like somebody that's probably very hard to work with. It's the problem with emojis in general. You can create as many as you want, but some of them just put up a wall immediately and you go, yeah, nah, I got no time for that.
Yeah, you boil it down into one little icon, you know, and it kind of tells you, you know, which way the arrow is pointing.
Yeah, or I will put absolutely no thought into this other than emoji. Mm-hmm. Life's got way more nuance to it than that. All right, let's get to the Pew Research Center. if recent trends, according to the Pew Research Center, in religion continue, Christians could make up less than half of the U.S. population within a few decades. Now, a few decades is a long time for me, for you. But in the grander scheme of things, from where we were 25 years ago to where you say we could be 25 years from now, it's a major seismic shift in the population of the United States of America. Church attendance has plummeted. They are all out there just like hospitals looking for nurses or police departments looking for police officers, all competing with each other to get parishioners. Now, I don't know all of the reasons for that. I think the whole LGBTQ argument within religion has driven a lot of young people away from it. I mean, growing up, I watched the next generation. Those things don't matter to them in regards to being judgmental about it. And I'm going to talk about everybody. I'm sure you can go find, you know, whatever, some kid that's upset about it. But I mean, for the most part, they just don't. And they also don't categorize themselves or identify themselves in groups as much, you know, whether it's music. We have people that will listen to 95Q and Hot 105. 25 years ago, that wouldn't have been the case. You've been a country fan, might have been a hip hop fan, but those worlds were not colliding in any way at all. So people evolve, people change, people question, people have less judgment about how people identify and how they define who they are. And Christianity doesn't change. At its worst, it's very rigid and kind of mean. At its very best, it's more inclusive and a little bit, but then they get accused of watering it down. You know, I don't know how long does something last? But here's the thing. If you're only 49% of the population, you can't win anything anymore. And does this describe kind of the desperate sort of feel out there in politics right now that we've got to take America back and make it the way it was again? Is this part of the buy-in on behalf of some of these folks? Because during COVID, during all of the January 6th and beyond, you've seen a lot of really, really bad behavior by people who self-profess to be walking the walk of Christianity. I mean, I can't tell you. It was like a litmus test. You could go to these horrible things on social media, go to their profile page, and almost to a person. I mean, it was almost universal. Right in their mission statement up front, follower of Christ. And you would think throughout this whole thing, it's like, really, that wasn't really what I understood that he taught. But, you know, it didn't matter. So when you're the majority for so long, looking at being the minority in maybe your lifetime, does that explain some of the desperation, some of the behavior? Not excuse it. I mean, just explain it.
Yeah, you would probably think that, the idea that when you look out there and some of your audiences are thinner and you see a lot of the, you know, pillars that have been very consistent for all the time that we've been a country and they're starting to go a different way and people's interests and preferences are changing. Yeah, I would say there's probably a sense of desperation in some of those circles for sure.
And I don't think these people are atheist, and I don't think they're agnostic. I think there's just people being driven away from the church fundamentally because of people's behavior, not anything towards God or religion. It's just, I don't want to be a part of that crowd. I remember it was very telling. Like somebody who I consider to be a fairly progressive guy who probably has conservative tendencies is Wayne Kent, you know, who retired after all those years from First Christian Church. And it was really interesting with him during COVID, you know, and this isn't anything private I'm sharing. This is like public stuff that he said on the air. I remember when he said that he told Leslie, like, we're not going to tell anybody we got vaccinated. Like playing to that crowd. Like it was important to keep that crowd, even if that crowd was behaving in a way that you didn't consider very Christian. And that battle of, do I tell them what they need to hear? Do I tell them what they want to hear? And now I believe it's become sort of weaponized in a political way. And people are exchanging religion for politics, meaning politics is now their religion based on, like, even in their church, sitting in the pew. And I think young people are just completely turned off by that. So what does that mean for future generations down the road? You know, when those 10, 15 year olds or 35, 40 year olds, you know, and they're not going to church, and you're, they say 2070 could be, which isn't crazy. That's, you know, 40 years from now. I guess it's 50 years from now. But you're less than half the population. When going back to the 1980s, you would have been 90% of the population. That's an incredible loss of members in a very short window of time if you look at it through an historical lens. And why? I mean, religion didn't fundamentally change. Religion's had its controversies over the years. You go back to the 1980s and the PTL Club or whatever, and Jim and Tammy Faye. I mean, we've always had that kind of stuff. So what changed?
I think the, you know, one of the biggest things is the flow of information. And I think that you're right. There's a lot of cross between politics and religion. But I think that, you know, as the overall numbers may dwindle, I think what you might find is some of the churches and congregations that do it really well, that rely on the fundamentals and the things, the core values that have existed for thousands of years, I imagine that they will be stronger and more solid, whereas some of the ones that have sort of lost their path will go by the wayside.
Yeah, but I mean, you go to Italy and everybody's been Catholic there a very long time. They're still Catholic.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like the people, you know, still have the same, like you mentioned, they still believe the same things. They still want to, you know, live their life the right way. And so they'll find the places that do that the right way, much like in Italy and other places. You know, they'll say, hey, this place is for me and this works. And some of this other stuff will fall off because it's kind of lost its way.
And if you look at the nuns,
organizationally,
I'll get you. Yeah. The nuns, N-O-N-E-S, meaning not agnostic, not atheist, just means I don't identify with anything. I'm not an atheist. I'm just not a Christian. That number, if current trends continue, will go from the current 30% that it is right now, already a big voting block, if you're just looking at this through a political lens, to 34 to 52% of the population. And I think the nuns are a bigger group, once again, N-O-N-E-S, that go, maybe I have faith in a higher power. Maybe I believe karma comes back. Maybe I believe you should do good things and help people and all the tenets of sort of Christianity. I just don't want to be a part of that organization.
That's right. I think what you're describing in a lot of cases is the faulting of the business side of it or the presentation side and not the core belief and the values. The way that some of this stuff just has not been presented well is a turnoff to a lot of people.
Yeah. And there's a really telling graphic, you know, that just shows this precipitous drop, right?
Right.
Like off a cliff.
Right.
And I personally, you hit on it just then, think this is what's always been the problem with religion in my mind, are the man-made problems.
Yeah, exactly right.
Like I've got to have this middleman to have a spiritual thought in my head. I can't do it without this guy who's positioned himself through his organization to sit tax-free and buy the best of everything and have all this stuff. I can't do it without them. And then you throw on top a pandemic when a lot of these evangelicals just lost their minds and were anti, I mean, they're still doing it. And I've always said, okay, fine, but you start paying taxes on all this. You want to get in the election game. You want to get in the political game. You want to get in the endorsement game. You want to get into the whole preaching game about politics. Pay taxes like everybody else. And it seems like it's turned more of that in recent years, which turns people off even more than they were already being turned off.
Yeah, you look at some churches, some organizations around religion, and you look at them and go, hey, that's a good group in our community. And you look at others, and they're very limited in scope, and then they do things that are inflammatory, like, you know, like you just said, and that shrinks their own number, you know, and they've already turned off everybody else, but they've shrunk their own number. So it'll become the haves and have nots.
Yeah. And then you look at the nuns. On an equal upward trajectory, almost identical in reverse. And I don't know. None of this surprises me. I mean, this trend has been going on for quite a while. And I do think, it's in large part, it's hard to sort of say Christianity across the board. You know, the Catholic faith, the Catholic ceremony going to mass hasn't changed. Mm-mm. You know what I mean? It's not. I feel like they've been in politics, you know, whether it's anti-death penalty or other things, you know, in life. But I've never felt that at a mass service. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's more steeped in tradition. That's ancient and,
yeah.
You know, it's not proselytizing quite as, I feel like it's more ceremony.
It is built around the religion first. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like, it would be interesting to see the breakdown between, you know, the different churches. I feel like a lot of this is evangelical. So, look, this is fascinating, but it does give you a glimpse into why people are clinging to what they're clinging to. No one wants to be extinct. You know, no one wants to be the minority. No one wants to be without clout. To keep the way of life that you cling to. And so you sort of feel this, like there is this desperation out there, even though I think it's all manufactured. I think if everybody out there that's mad about everything in the world just stood back and looked at their day-to-day life and said, okay, tell me really. Yeah, at the gas pump, I get it. Gas prices are coming down, okay? Yeah, your power bill went up. Yeah, I get it. There's things that you can be individually angered at, but is your real day-to-day life lining up with all of this political enemy stuff?
No, not most of the time, and I think that goes back to...
Hardly any of the time.
Right, and it goes back to part of this study, I'm imagining that you go on your Sunday or whatever day of worship that you put and you escape and you want to be with God or whatever it is that your religion has you do. And then you're dealing with those things in the middle of that. And it doesn't just stack up.
Oh, it doesn't. But when Christians, and when I say this, I'm saying this with quotes, like in general, because certainly this doesn't apply to everyone. There's a lot of very level-headed people who have their faith and go to church every Sunday and do good things in the community. But there's a lot of others that have been weaponized and politicized, and they see the nuns as the enemy. You know, they're the groomers. It's so beyond just like they choose to believe differently than you do. So therefore they have to go. There's been that kind of judgmental kind of attitude about it.
Yeah, and I don't imagine that some of those organizations will survive, and the ones that open their arms up and say, hey, we want anybody in this flock, come on, you know, we care about all of you, will probably thrive.
Maybe. It will sort itself out, I guess. I feel like, though, the stance that some of these churches, some of these prominent members, some of these folks... the more they double down, the more they drive younger people away. Just my opinion. But it's anecdotal, meaning when you talk to young kids and you do, you know, they don't judge people that way. Even if they disagree. And I look at the Pride event Saturday and like some of the hatred, the guy, and some of it, I mean, there's not any of it when you look at it that could be described Christian in behavior. You may be thinking it's coming from a Christian point of view in your heart, but the behavior is anything but. And I think that there's, and then some people see that as evolution, meaning that young people today don't put themselves in boxes or categories, like that that's a good thing. And I personally believe it is. And some people see it as the end of civilization because you don't think exactly like we think you should. And I think the more you have people have to check boxes to be a part of X, Y, or Z, the less popular X, Y, or Z is going to be.
That's probably right. And if you have your boxes for X, Y, or Z, and that's just, hey, this is who we are, this is what we believe in, that's fine. But when it crosses over and you start being on the offensive, that's when it...
Well, it's just like people, like, you know, this whole Founding Fathers argument that goes through everything. Listen, the Founding Fathers created an unbelievable thing, an experiment that turned into, my opinion, the best country in the world. But the idea that you would conceive that they would have been, you know, in their time, the way we are today, there's all kinds of things we wouldn't do today that was just A-okay then. Right? But this whole thing of like all this code that goes into this whole argument about anything, it is defying that human beings evolve, get better. There's all kinds of stuff in the Bible that doesn't make any sense today. There's all kinds of stuff in U.S. history that doesn't make any sense today. The same argument was used in my lifetime about interracial marriage and, I mean, ridiculous stuff that we don't even think about today. And I don't think any of that is giving up your integrity or your belief or your religion that a black man marries a white woman. I mean, somehow God is against that, but yet people still hold on to that kind of thing instead of recognizing that we're better as people today. Not perfect, far from it, but we're better.
Yeah, it's one of those things that is, it's existed for as long as men have been on this planet, and you know, the things that were written before couldn't have possibly been forecasted to today. You know,
no,
it's impossible. But yeah, you can find core tenets.
You have to have a framework.
Yeah.
You know, I get all that. I mean, whether you're talking about the Constitution or the tenets of Christianity, I'm certainly not a biblical expert, but you know, my takeaway was Old Testament, even the New Testament was a correction of the Old Testament because times had changed. And it was more about loving and forgiving than it was condemning.
Yeah. And if you keep it, there you go. And the businesses, the church businesses that are about loving and forgiving and all that are the ones that will thrive. And the ones that are not, those are the ones that aren't going to have the customers.
Right.
Just when you look at it like that.
That's exactly right.
You stay true and do these positive things. People are magnetic to that. They love it.
Yep.
And then you push them away because you're mean or you lost your way, they will leave.
Yeah. And what we did during COVID was everybody just divided against everybody because there was just, you know, I saw Darren Bailey in Chicago. Evidently, he's moved up there to stay there before the election. But he just stands on the streets and talks about what a hellhole it is and the 500 people that have been murdered. But this is a man who testifies daily to his faith and religion. 500 people shot to death in Chicago. It's too many. There's no doubt that the crime up there and the gang warfare and the one-on-one and six-on-one and three-on-one, it's bad. But this is a man who also denied when tens of thousands of people were dying of COVID. And I'm sure, I'm absolutely sure because his wife on her Facebook page was all about, you know, conditioning homosexuals back to heterosexuals through the church. And they think because they're doing this thing about we want to go back to the way it was, that it's going to get them elected. And I'm just telling you, you look at this projection, that you could lay this map out over voting trends and everything else and see the direction this is going. It'll be a fascinating few years. However many I have left, dude, I don't know that I'll get the 70. Not the age 70, the year 70. But we'll see. But there certainly is no doubt about the trends and the declining numbers. And these people didn't become atheists. They become nuns. N-O-N-E-S. We'll be back after stories and news. Stay tuned.
This is Brian Barnhart, voice of the Fighting Illini on Decatur's home for Fighting Illini athletics for over 75 years. WSOI Decatur, 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, and streaming at nowdecatur.com.
This is RJ Crace with your stories now. The Greater Decatur Chamber of Commerce held its business breakfast at the Decatur Club, during which Decatur Park District Executive Director Clay Gerhart presented the Park District's master plan. Following a recap of the impact the Park District had on the community this past summer, Gerhart detailed plans for improving the city's parks. Go to nowdecatur.com to see all the details. Macon County CASA's Board of Directors have announced a Gatsby fundraising gala to be held on Saturday, October 15th at 5 p.m. The event will be at the Mount Zion Convention Center. The evening will include dinner, silent and live auctions, dancing and drinks for those who attended last year.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.